to see if it's working all right, and I can verify it through this. Looks like we're doing all right. Okay. Let me begin then by indicating that today is February 21st, 1995, and this is Jim Boning speaking with Dr. John Sinfeld in his office at the Exxon Research and Development
Engineering.
ERE.
Right.
In Annandale, New Jersey. Dr. Sinfeld, I know you were born on the 18th of February, 1931, in Munson, Pennsylvania, which, is, if I'm not mistaken, is on top of Snowshoe Mountain outside of State College. Could you tell me something about your father and mother and your family background?
Yes. Yes, Munson is in central Pennsylvania, and Munson was a very rural area. It's a small village, probably about 25 miles from State College, Pennsylvania. Bellefonte, Pennsylvania was the county seat of Centre County, not very far away. My father worked in coal mines in central Pennsylvania. He was actually a mine foreman and had worked in this area all of his life. So I was very familiar with the coal mining tradition of Pennsylvania. This was in the bituminous coal region in Pennsylvania. I went to school in a two-room schoolhouse in Munson in Centre County, Pennsylvania. We had two ladies who taught all eight grades. And so in each room, you had four grades being taught. Not all at the same time, of course, but you had, as I remember, in a room, we might have had maybe four rows of seats, and maybe you had the fifth grade in one row, the sixth in another, seventh and eighth, and so on. This was true for those grades, and then likewise for grades one through four in the other room. And this was a very interesting experience for me, and one of the things that's probably had a very lasting effect on my life. It made a very lasting impression on me. These two women were extremely dedicated people. They really were interested in teaching. This was in the Depression years in the 30s when I went to grade school. And I remember one of the ladies who taught the first four grades lived about maybe 3 miles away from the schoolhouse and walked to school every morning through woods all through the winter, and I can remember that, and she was always there, and I've always remembered the dedication of that person. And the other lady who taught grades 5 through 8, that she lived much closer to the school. But both these teachers were extremely good. And I think they rank with the best teachers I ever had anywhere. And this goes through high school, through my undergraduate education in college, graduate school, what have you. I think I got a superb education in the first 8 grades in a simple two-room schoolhouse, no fancy facilities whatsoever, just pencil, paper, and a blackboard, and two ladies who really were interested in teaching me something.
What kinds of things were stressed there? Did you, mathematics, reading?
The very basics, got strong background. I remember in particular English. I've always been happy that I had these ladies. They taught us how to diagram sentences. I don't even know whether people worry about this. We knew what a subject was, what a predicate was. We knew what a noun was, a verb, preposition, and so on. And that was really, really strongly embedded in us. But apart from the basic reading, writing, and arithmetic, I remember that we also got a strong sense of history. They embedded in us a strong idea of when things happened in our history. We had a sense of when the Revolutionary War took place, when the Civil War took place, things of this sort. We had a pretty good knowledge of who our presidents had been over the years, who some of the outstanding people had been in the U.S. Senate, Congress. Even in things like poetry, we learned quite a bit of poetry. As a matter of fact, when I was in grade school, I learned a lot of poems. We had to recite them. We had to memorize them. I still have some of them in my memory to this day. So that while they emphasized the basics, they also were looking out for cultural things that one might not ordinarily associate with education at the grade school level.
You have a brother. You were the oldest of three.
That's right.
And I was struck by the fact that both your parents were born in Munson as well. So
yes.
Therefore, your family goes back there a long ways. Your brother also had a PhD, but not in the sciences.
That's right. He went in a totally different direction from me. He was all of his life, he was much more interested in the arts. He wound up as a professor at a university in Pennsylvania. It's actually Indiana University of Pennsylvania, which was an outgrowth of a state teachers' college, Indiana State Teachers College in years gone by, but today is a quite a big school and is a state university and with perhaps, 10,000-15,000 students, something like that. And he started out by teaching high school. When he finished college, he went to Penn State, studied English literature and languages. Languages was a strong interest of his. And when he served in the armed forces, he was overseas and had a lot of experience with languages. I think he served in some capacity in the Army where he was an interpreter and so on. And then when he was discharged from the service, he accepted a position at what was then, I think, Indiana State Teachers College, which is now the Indiana University of Pennsylvania, located in Indiana, Pennsylvania, known best, I think, as being the birthplace of Jimmy Stewart, the great movie actor.
Yes. For our generation, this is an aside from what we were saying at lunch. I'm sure the younger generation would not have any appreciation of that at all.
Well, Jimmy Stewart's father had a hardware in Indiana, Pennsylvania, on the main street in Indiana, and I can remember that from the time when I was in my teens. I don't think it exists there anymore, but for years there was Stewart's Hardware, and as I remember, not too long ago, Jimmy Stewart had a celebration of some sort that took place there in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Did the Depression have any effect on your family?
Yes, fortunately, I think it affected just about everybody, and there were periods where things were tough for us. But most of the time, we were fortunate. My father generally was working for most of the time through the Depression. There were times when that wasn't the case, but for the most part, this was the case. And so we were very fortunate. But you could see that everybody was pretty much in the same boat. Kids did not have a lot of toys, but they somehow amused themselves by exerting some creativity, if you will. And I don't remember it as being a particularly bad time. As a matter of fact, I think some of the happiest years of my life were as a child during the Depression. But at least insofar as the kids, maybe the adults might have looked at it a little bit differently. But from the standpoint of kids growing up, from what we knew about, we had it pretty good. We had a lot of fun. We played ball, and when we played ball, we made our ball. We didn't have a manufactured baseball. We usually started with something like an old discarded golf ball, and we wound it with some yarn, and then we put tape around the outside, and we played, we called them tapies, and we played baseball with these things.
So you, in spite of what was happening at the time economically, your childhood was a very
a very good time, very happy time. But I think as I went from the grade school into my teens, I was very aware of the fact that and my parents made me very much aware of the fact that I should be very serious about school, that I should try to get as much out of it as possible, and that I should be thinking at a relatively early age about what I was going to be doing when I got out of school. So I think I started thinking quite early in terms of trying to orient myself in a way that I would get into some form of employment, which was going to be very realistic, very practical, and so on.
Your family moved to Phillipsburg in 1943.
That's right. And one of the reasons for doing this was that there was a high school located in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. And the town of Munson, I guess, would have been about 10 miles away from Phillipsburg. There were one or two other high schools located comparable distances away, but they moved to Phillipsburg, so I would have the opportunity to be close to Phillipsburg High School.
Okay. Your father still worked in the mine?
My father, is deceased. He passed away about 20 years ago. My mother is still living.
But I mean, at the time you moved to Phillipsburg,
yes,
he was still
yes,
working
that's
in the
correct.
Mine.
That's yes. correct. Okay. Right. He was still working, we moved to Phillipsburg, as you say, in 1943, and my mother is still there to this day. When I went to high school in Phillipsburg, and then and when I graduated from high school, for all practical purposes, as the last, I lived in Phillipsburg, went away to school.
You had a sister who died at an early age, which was around this time.
1942, that's right. My sister Norma, she had been killed by a truck. It was in the very early days of World War II, and it was a very difficult emotional experience for us, and something that I guess we didn't get over for a long time. But that happened in the spring of 1942. That's correct.
The war was on. You graduated from high school in 47, so your high school career was basically during World War II.
That's correct. I can remember Pearl Harbor Day in 1941. We were still living in Munson, and I must have been in seventh or eighth grade, something like that. But I can remember we lived in a house that didn't have central heating. That's another thing was very typical of Depression years, and when you went to bed at night, the fire went out during the evening, and the kids all woke up in the morning. It was very cold. Well, we woke up on this December 7th, I guess it was, 1941, and my dad had turned the radio on, and we heard this report about the attack on Pearl Harbor. I can remember that to this day. And so it was about maybe a year and a half after that then that we moved to Phillipsburg, and I began high school. And so I was going to high school during World War II. And I was about a little more than halfway through high school, I think, when World War II ended. I can remember August 1945, when the war finally ended, with the Japanese part of the World War II, and the tremendous celebration that we had in that town of Phillipsburg. Everybody was out on the streets dancing, and it was quite an event. That's right.
Your major interest in high school, as I understand it, was mathematics.
Yes, I think that probably goes all the way back to grade school. I always enjoyed quantitative approach to things. I think ever since I can remember being a very young child, I was always interested in numbers. I was very much interested in quantifying things. I think my father had a great deal to do with this. I can remember before I even started school, my dad used to sit down with me, and just for amusement, we would do arithmetical kinds of things. As a matter of fact, at a very early age, he started talking to me about algebra, way before you would ever be exposed to this in a normal school curriculum. I think because he saw that I enjoyed the arithmetical games and so on that we indulged in, and he thought, well, maybe I'll give it a crack and see how he might do with something like this. And so I was studying algebra in the very early grades with my dad just for fun. And I think that's something else I think is very important about science. I didn't think so much about it in terms of science at that time. It's very important to have fun. It's very important. Today I sometimes think that people think it's something terrible to be having fun with what you're doing in making a living. I don't think that at all. As a matter of fact, I don't think, unless you're doing fun in science, I think it's not likely you're going to do very good science.
In an interview we have with Carl Marvel, he said, I have talked people out of going into chemistry because it wasn't fun for them. And if you're going to do it, you should have fun. Exactly what you're saying. Yeah. He actually discouraged students because they didn't have fun. Mm-hmm. You didn't get your first chemistry course, though, until last year.
That's right. As a matter of fact, my interest in chemistry didn't evolve until fairly late. I didn't have a chemistry set when I was in grade school. I don't think anybody even knew what they were where I came from. In high school, our science program was set up to take general science the first year as a freshman. I think we took biology as sophomores. I think we took physics as juniors, and chemistry came along in the senior year of high school. And that was probably my first real exposure to chemistry, and that wasn't very extensive. I think that... as I had indicated, the interest in mathematics and things quantitative went way back to the grades. And in high school, I still was very excited about mathematics. I always enjoyed algebra and geometry, trigonometry, the whole gamut of mathematics courses in high school. So by the time I had finished high school, I was pretty sure I wanted to do something that had a good component of mathematics in it, in the sense that you were going to approach something quantitatively. I didn't have much knowledge about chemistry or much awareness of chemistry till I was a senior. But I think by that time I had thought about things in a practical vein for quite some time, and I thought about my choice of career. I thought I might really enjoy being a mathematician. I think I would have really enjoyed that. But I said to myself, what kind of a job will I get? And as I didn't have an idea what mathematicians did. I guess I figured I could see that you might be able to teach school, you might be able to teach mathematics, but that was about all I could see that one might do. I didn't have much perspective beyond that. So then I thought, well, maybe it would be more practical to try to get into something where mathematics is an important component, or quantitative thinking was an important component. So I began to think some kind of profession where you could get tied up with industry might be a worthwhile type of thing to pursue. You probably gonna have a high likelihood of being employed when you finished. So I began to think about chemical companies, oil companies, and so on. I could see that you needed engineers and chemists and so on to design plants and so on. That's the way I thought about the whole thing. So I figured maybe a good compromise might be something like chemical engineering. I didn't even know what chemical engineering was, really, but I knew from talking to some of the ex-GIs who were coming back, and that was another important thing in helping me make up my mind. There were a whole flood of these ex-GIs coming back around 1945, 46. Some of them were coming back to finish high school while I were still a high school student, so I began to talk to these fellows. They were already thinking in very practical terms. They're 4, 5, 6 years older than I was, and they were all talking about things like this, about jobs and so on. So this became something very, very crystal clear to me, that these people were talking about reality. And so that had a big effect on me. I heard people talking about going into engineering and so on and working in places like Standard Oil or DuPont or Monsanto. And I thought, well, something like chemical engineering might be a pretty good bet because there's going to be chemistry in that. There's going to be a quantitative approach to problems. And so let's give that a crack. And that's the way I wound up making a decision to study chemical engineering, and so I decided to do that and enrolled at Penn State when I graduated from high school.
Had you thought about anywhere else but Penn State? It was virtually in your backyard.
That pretty much it for as an undergraduate. Maybe I thought about some other schools close by. I don't remember, but I think my whole family pretty much had the idea that I would go to Penn State, and so I made the decision, and that's where I wound up.
But as you told me earlier, you ended up your first year at Lycoming College rather
that's
than
correct.
At State College.
That's right. Now, the situation at the time that I graduated from high school, as you remember, it was just shortly after World War II. We had many these GIs coming back. And enrolling in, as I said, some coming back to finish high school, some of them enrolling in college, and there was a flood of these people on the campus, and so there just wasn't enough room to handle all the freshmen who wanted to come on campus. So Penn State farmed a lot of their freshmen out to smaller schools throughout the state of Pennsylvania, and I wound up at one of these places. Lycoming College in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For the most part, it was a small liberal arts school, but it was a very good experience for me. I'd come from a rural area, and this was not such a large place to begin college, and it was the kind of a place where you could know just about everybody in the place. Almost everybody there was in the same boat as yourself. And the classes were relatively small, and so it was a good way to start. And I found my year at Lycoming to be very satisfying for me.
What courses did you take that year?
Well, there would be the traditional freshman chemistry course, I guess we took a course in college algebra and analytic geometry, as I remember. And there would have been an English composition course. This was pretty standard for students at the time. I took a language, German, and I've never been sorry for that. I had an excellent German teacher. I remember her to this day, a lady named Charlotte Finkenthal. She was an outstanding teacher, and I remember. She used to have a German club, and she arranged for some of us to go down and appear on a radio show, on a radio program in Williamsport. I don't know whether we were singing some German songs or what. I don't remember the details, but I remember that course quite well. And then this Lycoming College had formerly been Dickinson Seminary. And there was a strong church type of affiliation of the school. And one course which was strongly required of everybody was a course in religion in your freshman year. I remember taking that. And I remember enjoying that because I was exposed to some things that I might never have been exposed to. Probably read more of the Bible than I might ever have done if I hadn't taken that course.
What was your chemistry experience like?
You didn't have much in the way of facilities. The laboratory was small and on, but we got a good grounding in freshman chemistry. We used a textbook which was written by a man named Herman Briscoe, who I think taught at the University of Indiana, if I remember correctly. And it's an excellent textbook. As a matter of fact, I still have it. The book must be 50 years old now, and I still often refer to it. I find it useful today, and very frequently I open that book up and look at some things. Because it's a very different kind of a textbook from what I imagine freshman chemistry texts are today, or at least the ones that are used. There was a lot of descriptive chemistry. There was a lot of discussion of chemical processes, how chemical processes were conducted in chemical plants, as well as the laboratory. And it didn't leave out some of the modern aspects of chemistry. There was good discussion of modern chemistry and some of the developments in modern physics, things like radioactivity, which was something very, very new at the time, and lots of discussion of things like isotopes and so on. A very excellent text. As a matter of fact, if anybody has the opportunity to open up Briscoe's college chemistry, I think that might be a good experience.
Okay. Qualitative analysis in the laboratory?
Qualitative analysis. We started that in the second half of my freshman year, as I recall. And that was the first sense of something exciting in chemistry, where you're going into the laboratory and essentially becoming acquainted with the research process or the spirit of the research process, the idea of going in and getting an unknown substance and trying to find out what was in there was a new and an exciting experience.
Did you know that you would only be 1 year at Lycoming and then you would head back to the main campus?
That's what they told us, and they came through with their promise.